If you would take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Romans. Now, usually, God gives me my sermons sometimes weeks in advance so that I have a half a dozen of them ready for whatever might come. This one he gave to me last night. And my sermon title is called Romans, so let's turn there. And I asked the Lord, all week I've been praying, Lord, why would you want me to title my sermon Romans? And he gave me a scripture. And let me read the scripture, because it didn't answer too many questions for me. It made me ask more. Chapter 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. And verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us know things as we need to know them and not necessarily as we would want to know them, and that you may not come always when we want you to, but you always come right on time. Lord, may this message from you be right on time for the hearer. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the letter to the Romans, of course, is a letter from Paul. And he's not quite at Rome yet when he's writing it. He's on his way to Rome. He's been delayed by many things. Paul, you know, got delayed along the way several times in several ways. Now, ever since Paul was converted, it's been nothing but trouble. If you think being a Christian is an easy thing, where have you been? Have you been living under a rock? Being a Christian is a blessed thing. Being a Christian is a wonderful thing. You can have a heart full of joy, but it is no bed of roses to be a Christian. It will be someday. One day, you'll see why we had to go through all that we've had to go through. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. But in the meantime, it's Murphy's Law. Now, Paul, ever since he gave his heart to Christ, it's been nothing but trouble. And he's going deeper and deeper and deeper into trouble. As he goes along, he's getting closer to Rome. He's looking forward to Rome, but Paul, you don't want to get there so soon. Because you know what's going to happen to you in Rome? The end. So God, in his timing, has used Paul all along the way to write letters to people who are in need of his counsel. God has taught him how to deal with adversity along the way. And on his way to Rome, he writes a letter and he says, I want you to know that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, some people, especially when hard times come, when people begin to question them on their faith and say, shame on you for believing that there's only one way to heaven, that there's only one God, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that there's only one true church, and that the remnant church happens to be the one we're in today. As we move along and as we grow in the faith, it gets harder to be a Christian, but yet it doesn't. If you are not ashamed of who you are and whose you are. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Paul, beaten, stoned, shipwrecked. What else? All along the way, bitten by a snake, shook it off. And this is what we got to do, folks. When the snake bites us, we got to shake it off. Now, some of us walk around with the poison still in them. Haven't shaken it off yet. I heard that on the radio this morning. I thought I'd use that. Are you snake bit this morning? Shake it off. Don't bring it to church. Some people come to church snake bit. You know, the poison's still in them. Well, this is the place to get rid of it all. Think of what our wonderful Christ has done for us. Think of our future. Think of the devil's future. You don't want to think of that. That's why he's going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's upset because he's doomed. And all but one-third of heaven, those angels that followed him, they're doomed. And they're going to take as many with them as they can. Determine that it's not going to be you. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. And it goes on to say, for it, the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As you go along this road, it is a walk of faith. As you conquer one foe, another one pops his head up, and we've got to conquer that one. And it takes faith. This is a walk of faith. You've got to believe, and you've got to do something about that belief. It's an easy thing to say, I believe. It's a harder thing to live it. Now, you know, there are Christian scholars and people that know a lot about the Bible, and they're great speakers. And they have a strange name. Have you ever heard of these people being called apologists? Now, when I think of apologies, I think of somebody that says, oh, I'm really sorry. I don't mean to offend you. But that's not the kind of apologists they are. They stand up for the faith. They proclaim what they know to the best of their ability. And I make no apologies for our doctrine. And I make no apologies for Ellen White. And I make no apologies for the spirit of prophecy. And I make no apologies for the investigative judgment. And I make no apologies for the millennium. That while we are in heaven at that judgment, as we're looking through the books, there's a devil down here all alone with nobody to tempt. And they say, well, that's strange. All the other churches don't teach that. Well, all the other churches haven't got what we've got. And we're praying for them. Now, there's some really wonderful churches and wonderful people out in those other churches too. But we've been given an unpopular message. We're supposed to go and say, come out of her, my people. Don't tell me that's not popular. But we make no apology. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And there's another thing going on. You see, back in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, they were rebuilding the temple. The temple was destroyed by the Babylonians, and 70 years later, they were allowed to go back and rebuild. Now, Solomon's temple had been magnificent. It was beautiful. It was gorgeous. And it was gone. And as they were dedicating the foundation of the new temple that was going to take its place, there was a great cry, a loud noise that could be heard for miles. The people were standing around and they were crying, some for joy because the temple was being rebuilt, and some in sorrow because it wasn't what it used to be, folks. Some people are living in the past saying, this is not the same church it was when I was. No, let's look at it like through the eyes of, we're rebuilding the temple. And it's like that today. the church isn't what it used to be. It was much more glorious in the good old days, some will tell you. Maybe it was. But we're rebuilding the temple. And we're rejoicing with God that we're taking what we've got and we're working with it and we're going to succeed and we're going to grow and we're going to overcome and Jesus is going to come and we're going to be ready. So let's rejoice in the fact that we are rebuilding the temple. Each one of us is undergoing a rebuilding process. We are being regenerated. We are being sanctified so that we can be glorified. I look back when I first became a Christian, and that was a glorious thing. I just so much enjoyed getting saved. And I so much enjoyed my salvation, and I've enjoyed it all along the way. And have I had a perfect life? Have I lived a perfect life? Has everything gone smoothly for me? Anything that could go wrong went wrong in my life, but I'm still persevering, folks. And so do you have to persevere. You can't give up because something goes wrong. Just because things don't go your way, don't get up and quit. Start again. Start again. Get up and dust yourself off and get on with it because Jesus is coming soon. We were talking about in the Sabbath school lesson, preparing for eternity, preparing for Jesus to come. We're in preparation. We're fixing to leave. Aren't we? Are you fixing to leave? Are you getting ready? Have you got it all done yet? Are you packed and ready to go? Huh? I think we have a wonderful future ahead of us if we can only not be so ashamed of who we are. And sometimes we apologize too much for what we have to preach. God has given us a responsibility. You know, we were talking again in the Sabbath school lesson about being responsible for the light that's been given to us. And the question was asked, well, if somebody just came to Christ and said, Lord, please forgive my sins and received confirmation in his heart that he was forgiven and he died the next day, would he be saved? Yes. Because that's all he knew. That's all he's responsible for. But as we have grown over the years, as God has revealed more truth to us, we need to get it out. We need to live it. We need to breathe it. We need to move in it. And not just believe it silently to ourselves. And when somebody raises an objection to the fact that we are an exclusive lot Christians, we believe in only one way, Jesus. He's the first, the last, and everything in between. Without him, we have no reason to meet here at all on the Sabbath day. He's the only way. Buddha doesn't do it. Confucius doesn't do it. Krishna doesn't do it. Allah or Muhammad? No, I'm sorry, folks, but they are not the right way to go. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And Paul, the apostle, asked the Lord when he saw him on the road to Damascus, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now, what a shock that must have been to that man. Huh? You're Jesus? And then you know what he said? What do you want me to do? Now, isn't that what we say when we finally come to Jesus? We bow the knee and we say, Lord, I give my heart to you. I ask you to forgive my sins. Please come into my life. Wash away them sins by the blood. And you know he says yes. You know he says yes. He says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask of him? So he forgives you. And then what's the first thing you say when you get off your knees? What do I do now, Lord? Cultivate that spirit of willingness to obey and do what you know is right and follow him all along the way. Read the instruction book, pray, and he will do it for you. And you need not fear for the future. And never, 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 ever, ever be ashamed of who you are. Now, I'm not talking about going around bragging, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Nah, 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 nah. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, I know what Christ, or who He is, and why it is that I am a Christian, because Jesus died, He was buried, He rose again, and He's coming again. I know all this, and you know how I know it? Because He came in the person of the Holy Spirit, and He brought the Father with Him, and God lives in my heart, and I am not ashamed. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I pray that this is exactly what You wanted me to say to Your people today. May we never be ashamed of who we are. And we know Paul had to go all the way to Rome. We know that the Romans were having a tough time, and it was not the place to be a Christian. Indeed, they were being thrown to the lions. They were lighting up the Colosseum because they were on poles and they had tar all over them and they were burning up. It was not an easy thing to be a Christian then, and it is not an easy thing to be a Christian now. But You make it delightful, Lord. So make it delightful for these people, I pray. May they persevere, may they overcome, and may we soon see You come. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.